Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled Rick and the Beanstalk, where I'm joined by Drew Amar and Rick Schwartz to talk about his recently announced Beanstalk Challenge, where he gives builders an opportunity to build businesses on his domain names with big prizes and rewards to come, including a Bentley convertible that will be given away at NamesCon this year in Miami. We get the details on the challenge, how it's going to work, the motivation for it, and how Rick sees it evolving into the future. We also talk about the importance of domain names for businesses, how AI tools are game-changing for website development and business operations, and how something like this can grow, pun intended, awareness for the domain space and the value of domains in general. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Skiv.com, formerly Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And now, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable gives you the most cutting-edge tools to buy and sell domains. You get free back orders, their API, and their new AI assistant for easily searching and managing domains. Plus, build your own custom landers and SEO content with their AI site builder. Try them out at UnstoppableDomains.com. And also, big shout out to Escrow.com. Here at Media Options, we've relied on Escrow.com for years. They've handled some of our biggest deals, including 7- and 8-figure transactions. We use their specialized domain services because they understand domains. As the largest online licensed and audited escrow operator, Escrow.com is fast, secure, and accountable, with workflows built specifically for domains. Whether you're buying your first domain or closing million-dollar deals, they protect buyers and sellers around the world from fraud while ensuring smooth transfers. Also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to dnx.com today. And also, big shout-out to our newest sponsor, Appraise.net. Instant AI-powered domain appraisals with retail price ranges and detailed justification for every domain name. Whether you're buying, selling, or building your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Beyond the range, each appraisal includes a breakdown of the domain's multicultural reach, strengths and weaknesses, and a market analysis covering the best use case, industry, and likely buyer profile. Get your first month for just $1 at appraise.net/domainsherpa. And last, but certainly not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short. We'll be picking a domain topic that we're going to dig into with special guests, and today we actually have the one and only Rick Schwartz on the show to talk about his Beanstalk Challenge. We're going to get to that, but first, let me introduce my co-host. Over to my left, we got my boy, Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the sniper, a.k.a. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn, never gonna give Drew up, get Rick rolled, Graybeard, the domain pirate, the domain Don in the
I
building.
Have a domain.
What's going on, man?
What is it?
Get Rick rolled. What is that part of it?
Never gonna give Drew up, man. You don't know what Rick rolled? It's never gonna give Drew up. Never gonna let
you. I never made the connection.
Yeah. See, there you go. Get Rick rolled.
He's only been saying it for a year or two now.
Well, I'm usually still focused on how much I hate the Dirk Diggler part.
Hey, man, you know, and Billy also throws up the Dirk Diggler picture when he does it. You know, it's just we double down, man. That's how we do. But how are you? You got the great background today.
I'm in my happy place. We're out in the countryside of Portugal, finalizing construction on the farmhouse, and all good. Just got over a four hour construction meeting with all hands on deck because we're 13 months behind.
Yeah, hey, only 13 months, man. That's good. That's basically on time.
You know, all good things.
uh, I dig it. I dig it. All right. Well, let's keep it moving. My other co-host with us today, my boy Amar Kuba, a.k.a. King Kuba, a.k.a. Danny Ocean, a.k.a. the even greater Gatsby. Don't chase an unworthy dream, y'all. A.k.a. Marzan, a.k.a. Kuba Libre, a.k.a. LL Amar J, Kuba Soze. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Good to see you guys. Rick, it's been a minute. Good to see you.
Drew. You too, Amar.
13 months actually kind of makes me happy is the wrong word. It gives me some peace because I'm going to be going through that same shit soon.
No, it's always, but when you can see somebody suffering more than you, it always.
AKA misery meet company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, that makes me happy. Gives me joy.
It doesn't make me happy. Gives me joy. It's okay.
It brings peace into my heart, you know, but it doesn't. All right. Well, good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, last but not least, and the man of the hour for the topic on today's show, below me, we have the one and only Rick Schwartz, a.k.a. the Domain King, a.k.a. Slick Rick, a.k.a. May the Schwartz be with you, a.k.a. Miami Vice, a.k.a. You Ain't Ready for This Betty. Rick, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Glad to be with you guys. Happy to see friendly faces and looking forward to having a good time.
Oh, always, man. Well, thank you so much. And the big thing today that we really wanted to, the reason we're on the show today and what we want to talk about is we got to talk about this Beanstalk Challenge, man. This is, so I think we've got plenty to talk about. And guys, feel free to jump in. We don't have to necessarily stick to the planned list of questions. But I just like to really, the thing that obviously got everybody's attention was the Bentley. You're giving away a Bentley. And I think that's... always the showman, and
Mr. Beast of Domains.
Ooh, that's a great AKA. You're gonna have to be Mr. Beast.
well, I can tell you it was definitely an accidental business.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah. This is truly an accidental business. So I have this Bentley sitting in my garage now. It's a 2010 Bentley convertible. I haven't driven it in maybe 7 or 8 years. It's just sitting there. It only has about maybe 6,500 miles. I'm not even sure because I haven't started it up in years. I'll have to put a few dollars in it just to get it rolling again, a few batteries and things like that. But anyway, so I'm sitting there. I said, I don't know. I don't want to sell it. You know, I hate selling anything that's going to give me less value than it's worth. You know what I mean? It's kind of really deeply embedded to me. You can see that when I sell domain names. So I'm thinking... And then I always had this college project in mind where you'd have teams in colleges and universities compete. Mm-hmm. But then colleges went off the crazy path, and so that dream went away. Anyway, so I have the Bentley. And I'm sitting there on, I think it was a Sunday morning. And I was like, what am I going to do with this thing? And I say, okay, I'd rather give it away than undersell it. Okay. And I've always said that I'd rather piss it in the ocean than undersell something. I used to do that with my traffic. If they didn't want to pay me what the traffic was valued, I said I'd rather piss it in the ocean than to give someone valuable traffic that they're going to make money with. So I said, okay. And I came up with the idea, win Domain King's Bentley. That's how it started. That was the phrase, win Domain King's Bentley. Okay, so I have the title, but I don't have the idea yet. You know, I kind of work backwards in life. So I have the title. I have a kind of idea. Now, how am I going to marry everything together? So, you know, I start thinking, and all of a sudden, you know, I start thinking maybe I'll have this contest, because it wasn't a challenge yet. That comes later. And have people pick any domain that they want. And they can build it out, whoever builds the best domain name and maybe creates a business out of it, wins the Bentley. Wins the Domain King's Bentley. What the hell? I didn't know if anyone was going to, you know, be a taker or not. I mean, I had no idea. So all of a sudden, you know, but before that, now I'm talking with Betty. Because Betty, I strategize with Betty. Okay, you have to understand, every step of the way, I'm strategizing with Betty. And little by little, and I start thinking about it. And then on, this started And a couple of days later, I start thinking about it. We didn't even have a name for it. And then we started thinking of a name and, you know, something that would grow. And it was funny, the night before, I heard a term that I had not heard in years. And I heard it like twice in within 24 or 48 hours. I was watching, I mean, this is kind of stupid, but I'm watching Family Feud one night. And one of them, I mean, you understand how stupid this is? I'm literally watching Family Feud one night with my girlfriend, and one of the answers is Beanstalk. Anyway, didn't even think about anything. And then as this thing started, the idea started to materialize, and I started saying, you know, this thing is going to, could have legs, and it could grow, and why should I just stop it with when Domain King's Bentley? Maybe I should do something a little bit bigger, because by the time this blossoms, it's going to have a lot of momentum, and why should I stop? So I said, okay, you know what? I'm willing to roll the dice on this one. And I said, you know, how much am I willing to invest and make? You know, I've been trying to break down the domain walls and the domain bubble we've been in for decades. And so I figured, okay, the first year, we'll just focus on them domain investors. And then each year, we'll have a bigger prize, and the waves will go out stronger to bigger audiences, bigger companies, more important companies. And eventually, we're going to hit pay dirt and break through all these layers. So I started thinking, okay, next year, okay, I can afford to go buy a 2026 Corvette and go give it away. So now I'm in it for two cars, right? And then, you know, the third year, the fourth year, and then finally I said, well, you know, the grand prize, I need a headline, you know, something that's going to be captivating. Okay, I'll give away a $2 million oceanfront condo. If we make it that far,
wow!
And I think we will, I'm going to give them something that's going to be newsworthy.
Wow.
And little by little, this idea came together, and we came up with the keyword Beanstalk. And then we were with Beanstalk contest, Beanstalk this, you know, we kind of played with that for a while, and then Beanstalk challenge. That's cool. So, you know, I'm looking at a couple of models. I'm looking at kind of like a Mr. Beast on one hand and Mr. Wonderful on the other hand, okay? And that's who I'm looking at. Those are the two lanes I'm looking at, Mr. Beast and Mr. Wonderful. And just little by little, it just, you know, you start polishing something, you know, and boom. And then by Tuesday, I think it was March 3rd, I make the post. And people are interested. And they start contacting me. And what I figured would happen, and it did, is we all have special interests, things that we're really, you know, motivated by and passionate about. And maybe this will bring out some of the passion. And voila, all of a sudden, people started coming out of the woodwork, claiming domain names, getting serious about them. I mean, not everyone is serious about them, but I'll tell you what, a lot of them are. Mm-hmm. And it started to become a beanstalk. And it's just started growing and growing and growing. And I you know, put a six-month window. And then the first Sunday, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I have to make this a spectacle. I already threw a stick of dynamite into the public square, in the domaining square, and it burst. Now I have to make it a public spectacle. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give it away at NamesCon. Now, I didn't even tell NamesCon about it at the time. I just figured this is so good. This is just, everyone's going to love it. And I make a post that it's going to be given away at NamesCon. And I'm imagining in my mind on the bay, the Bentley convertible is sitting there gleaming. 500 people are standing around waiting for the people to be unveiled. The people that are in the challenge may have a reason to attend now, and voila, we're going to give it away. And then I start thinking a little further. It's like, that can't be the end of the story. You know, why would, you know, having built up so much momentum, why would that be the end? So I said, okay, I have a better idea. And again, I'm talking to Betty, we're strategizing. I'm going to bring the 2026 Corvette to Miami. And now we have the second year challenge unveiled right there. And the new participants will show up at that moment. And now they have a year to build, or maybe 6 months, because depending how this turns out, maybe 6 months is enough. And then we can accelerate everything. But I figure 6 months is cutting it close. They actually have about 7 months, but it's cutting it close. But I think it's enough time to blossom, or at least see something happening.
Traction.
And it just started evolving from that. You know, the beanstalk, the idea. And then I said, okay, well, what's the next prize going to be? So I said, well, how about something like a McLaren? So I said, okay, a $375,000, you know, exotic car. And I was like, okay. And then, okay, what's the fourth year going to be? So I said, okay.
I'll sign up when you do a yacht.
That's year number six, pal. I don't know.
You know, it's great. I wonder, how does that work tax-wise? I wonder, do you get to write that off? If you're giving it away, I wonder if that's a write-off. Like a
marketing. I would imagine it is. It's an expense.
It's a business expense, right? It's a marketing expense.
The whole point is, this thing should blossom so big, this beanstalk should grow so big, it won't even matter
yet.
And that's the goal. So now I said, okay, how about now $1 million exotic? Now they could get really something out there. And it's like, okay, now how am I going to beat that? I can't give them a $2 million car. That's like, okay, now we're getting crazy. It's like, well, if push comes to shove, I'll be old enough for the condo that one of my oceanfront condos I have, I could just give away. So I have a fallback plan. It's like, shit, I'll give away a $2 million condo. Now, I don't want to give away one of my condos, but I'm hoping by the time we get to the fifth year, this thing is making much more than $2 million and hopefully a few more zeros on the end. And I actually want to raise that from $2 million to $5 million or $10 million or whatever it can be.
Yeah.
Depending if we have a hit or two or three.
Yeah.
I mean, so you talk about the combination of the Mr. Beast, Mr. Wonderful, Willy Wonka, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely like, it has all of those elements. So how does it work, right? So you've got obviously an incredible domain portfolio. So now for the folks who haven't been paying attention or just kind of sort of caught some of the bits and pieces. So how does it start this first 6 months to win the Bentley? You know, it's like, where are we at? What has to happen? What's the plan?
Well, Rick posted his portfolio and said, you know, come and get it, right?
Yeah,
basically, I posted in a couple of places some of my top tier names, and then later on some of my more run of the mill names. And I'm kind of surprised what was picked first, but you know, people have passions in different things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know. What did you want to know?
So how do you win? So who wins the Bentley? So you have a handful of people that have already picked domains.
So right now we have 18 or 19 founders. And the 18 founders get a bonus. They get a 5 or 6% bonus on top of everything. But that's a different story. Okay. So what happens is they're responsible for taking the domain name. They're responsible for building it, whatever expenses in building it, if there are any, or traffic. Okay, that's on them. Now, after they recoup their money, okay, and now they're at the break-even point, if they should do that before the contest ends, we split the revenue 50-50.
Okay.
Okay, now the contest ends. Some domains are just going to go by the wayside, and you know that's just how it's going to be. And then there's going to be a few breakouts. And then we're going to sit down with the few breakouts and say they have a choice. We can just keep running it like it is and split it 50-50. There's no expense. Or we can sit down, negotiate a price, and there's a percentage where they keep 80% of the business. I get 20%. If it's a marginal business and the domain sells, I get 75% of the domain, they get 25%. So it's all spelled out in our terms and conditions. They get it before the DNS is switched. I wrote it word for word. There's no lawyers involved. There's no bullshit. It's clear as a bell. Not one person has even had a question about it. It's that clear. Everyone knows. What's that?
Betty Esquire.
Not even Betty Esquire, but Betty helped me make sure that, you know, I had everything that I needed to have in it without being a lawyer and without no lawyer talking it. It's just a straightforward, this is the agreement. The minute I switch the DNS, you have agreed to it. That's it. It's very simple. And like I said, it's very straightforward. And
did you have people competing for, like, did you have multiple parties, for example, that wanted to do property.com or one of the others?
There were a couple. And, you know, I had to, you know.
And is that just a judgment call or was there some kind of...
Well, most of the time it was first come, first serve. But yeah, there was a couple of times there was a judgment call. It was like, who do I feel is going to really do something, especially with properties.com. I wasn't going to, you know, put a holder.
And put a trailer on that.
Right. So this one, they had to tell me what they're going to do, how they're going to do this. What is their vision? That's all. What is their vision?
And then, So how, I guess though, what I'm still trying to figure out, and I'm going to bypass the lawyer hate. Amar and I won't take it personal. You know, well, so it's all good. But no, I do appreciate the, you know, being clear and obviously keeping it very common sense. And,
well, as a lawyer, you know, one of the strongest contracts in the world is made on a napkin. Huh? Okay. A napkin with two signatures is one of the strongest contracts on the planet, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And the clearer, the better.
Exactly. So we start from that. And that's always been my thing with a contract. As short and sweet as possible that hits every point that can come up.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm with it. And then so we get to NamesCon or right before NamesCon. What is the metrics? Is there a metric that you determine who wins or is it based just off of where you think like the most success or the most potential for success? Like how do you determine who the winner is going to be? Is that like, is there a formula for that?
If I can't get Mr. Wonderful to judge it and Mr. Beast. Okay. So here's what I think in my mind, this is how I see it evolving. First of all, the participants themselves, I think, are the first layer of judging. So it's kind of like pickup sticks. You have, maybe we'll have 50 websites being built. The first thing you're going to do are take off the sites that are just meaningless, okay? And let's say 35 of them are, you know, they're just placeholders or whatever, and they're not going anywhere. You know, they tried, and hey, that's life, and that's what we expect. And no one expects anything more than that. So now let's say you're left with the next 15. You're going to do the same process. You're going to look at those 15, and you're going to layer that. And now you're going to be left with 7 or 8, and you're going to do it again. And eventually, between consultations with people, me posting on Twitter and LinkedIn, maybe coming on Domain Sherpa again and asking for the audience's advice, things like that. At the end of the day, I'm going to make the final call, and I have the most to gain or lose in it to begin with. So I want to make the right call, and I'm going to have as many advisors as I possibly can to help me make that call.
I love it. So then as to where things stand now, so what are you, about a month in? Is that, how long ago did everybody start building?
Exactly 31 days ago on Friday. Okay. And we have 19 builders and 36 different websites being built at this moment and a few others in the talking stage. And I should have another announcement today with the youngest player that's entering the arena.
Oh, okay.
With a different vision, okay? His father is a domainer. He's a 16-year-old. I can't do a contract with a 16-year-old, right, Mr. Lawyer? Right? Hey, not bad, huh?
Minors, okay, yeah.
So you can't do a contract with a 16-year-old, but I can do a contract with his father, and he can sponsor the son, and they can be a team. And he has an idea for one of the domain names. And what's good about this is now we're going to take someone who has the mindset from the get-go of something we don't have. Mm-hmm. Okay. A 16-year-old was born with this. The iPhone has been in his hand right after the little sucker came out of his mouth. Okay. So he's going to see the world differently than any of us. And I was really hoping that this would happen. I wanted someone that was young because he's going to see the world differently. So I have no idea what he's going to come up with. I'll tell you the name of the domain. He's going to do thumbnail.com, right, which is good for his generation. Okay. So you understand, you know, it kind of goes together. So
I mean, that one has real potential. I mean, doing, you know, these thumbnail, I just know because of doing this podcast, we learned that your thumbnail, the thumbnail you use on YouTube is
right.
Critical. It's like, you know, and what all this stuff people freak out about SEO for a blog, your thumbnail is like your SEO. I mean, it's like the number one indicator for YouTube.
And do you know who told me that?
Who?
Eddie.
So, you know, creating a thumbnail generator that basically is like, you know, YouTube optimized. And it's like, here, just give me the title of your podcast. Give me, you know, some images to work with, and then I'm going to create you as a consistent, because that's the thing is consistency with the thumbnails. I think creating a thumbnail generator, first off, it's probably not that hard. And second of all, it could be material.
Business in a box. Everything, yeah. I have is business in a box. Match the idea. It's just like a location on a corner in a city. You match the right restaurant with the right location, and voila, yeah. Maybe 10 restaurants were there before and they never got a customer and they collapsed, and one guy comes in and boom. And that's what this is about.
Man, so I'm looking at the Beanstalk Challenge and I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, one, I'm so intrigued to see if there's, you know, some breakouts that really nail it, because you know, it's so silly that this is the first time anybody's ever actually done this. And I love it. I think it's a phenomenal concept. I mean, I'm a domainer. We're all skeptical, especially of other domainers. And so, you know, I'm skeptical about the quality of the businesses that the people in this first ring that this has made it out to so far, the quality of the businesses that they can deliver. But there are a few people in there that are serious operators that have built serious businesses. And so I'm well, pretty excited to see what that comes out at. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rick, you did this in a different format way back in the day with Joint Venture, right? Joint Ventures?
I did.
This is different, but it's kind of like an evolution of that. I think V2.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that because, you know, but I guess we're in a different generation, 10, 15 years removed from that.
Yeah.
Everything's much more mature, and AI changes everything.
Yeah.
AI, the building, you did Joint Venture. That was what, 2015? 16? The cost to build a mediocre website was $100,000.
Right.
That was table stakes. You wanted a serious website, it was $300,000 to $500,000. You had to have two engineers. You had to have a staff. Today, the same thing can be built in 30 days with, you know, by a monkey.
It's scary.
A handful of tools, a monthly subscription to.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And without AI, AI is the booster rocket to everything right now.
Yeah.
And you either grab onto it or not. Okay. This is more money is being thrown at AI than anything in the history of the world. Okay. Let's start there. If there's money being thrown around, your job is to be there when it starts falling out of the sky. Okay. Yeah. That's all there is to it. I mean, how hard is that? You don't come after, you come, you know, when it starts falling, not after it's on the ground, too late.
Yeah.
100%. You know, I think it's super interesting. You know, you talk about the young kid doing the thumbnail domain and, you know, because kids are, you know, they're obviously tech native, but now they're AI native. You know, I see it with my own kids. And what I think will be really funny is if the 16-year-old wins the Bentley, if he's got his driver's license.
Far. I really, that has to happen. It just has to happen. I want the 16-year-old to be have his first car.
Listen, if the 16-year-old wins the car, okay, here's the deal. I have to be there when he gets his driver's license and takes his first damn drive. Okay, that's going to be the damn deal. Okay, I'm going to tell his father because today when I email the father, that's going to be the deal. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You got to take the drive with him. You got to record it and do the whole thing. Like, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be amazing.
Let me tell you, that would be the biggest headline of all. Oh. Okay.
That'll make national news.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying, even though this is a 5-year program with 5 rings, I think it's going to be 3. But, you know, we'll see. It remains to be seen, but yeah. I have a vision. And no, I've had no pushback. Usually, oh, Rick, your idea is so stupid. You know, I get all kinds of noise and pushback. I haven't had, it's a miracle. And I've only had, you know, lightning in a jar 2 or 3 times in my life, but never a juggernaut like this. Because this one really has a chance to speak about the moon, to go to the moon, right? I mean, this really has a chance. I don't know if it's going to happen. Nobody knows. But like anything else, you take a shot. You take a shot.
I think your timing is perfect. I think, I think there's some real operators that can deliver some serious businesses if they put their back into this. But when you get into that second and the third ring of entrepreneurs that start understanding what this is, I mean, look, 2 guys that know how to build software businesses, 2 guys and a killer domain name, 1 guy and a killer domain name today, that's a serious operator, you can build a multi-hundred million dollar business, a $1 billion business. We've got one of our domains, JT? Anyone.com or anybody.com?
Anyone is with Reza. Anybody?
Anyone I sold to Reza, anybody.com is this guy. He was a private equity guy. He had been financing software businesses his whole career, but he's also an engineer. And he took anybody.com from us I took some equity. We've got a lease in place and a very modest lease to put some skin in the game, really following your blueprint, Rick. And this guy's goal is to build the first single person $1 billion company. And he believes he could do it. And he's coming from a company that was managing hundreds of billions of dollars in capital. And he believes he can build basically he's going to build Apollo, but with a single person team. And
he's going to end up building more than one. You know what I see? Think about homes like Lennar. You know, mass builders like Lennar. Imagine a mass builder coming in.
That's
and,
what I'm saying.
I mean, you have no idea what can happen and how fast it can happen. It's like building a city in weeks, months, a year or two, and a metropolis. Matter of fact, I'm working on a graphic to try to show people from like a domain like Apple.com. I'm trying to work on a video that shows Apple.com, the $10 domain name, as it expands into the $1 trillion, multi-trillion-dollar company, and exactly how big that looks like physically, how much that would cost physically to run, not $10 a year. I mean, because people need to visualize things like that to really see it. When they start seeing
visualize that domain name is just
the embryo, the embryo.
It's the embryo. And the thing starts growing on top of it, and suddenly
the beanstalk, and you have a city on top of the clouds, and that's the vision. And I'll tell you, it's the moment. Everything in life is about timing.
It's all,
and this is the moment. And I've been, you know, if you look at my post from 2025, I talked mainly about 2026. And 2027, and what monsters these years are going to be. Because last year we were just getting acquainted. Okay, we were getting introduced. We were getting acquainted. We hadn't physically had enough time to start the real dreams. Okay, and that's the part that's happening now. Okay, now you're into the dream stage. People have visions and dreams, and all of a sudden, it's just like me. I'd wake up every day with dreams, and they go back in the fart machine in the back of my mind, never to be seen again. Right now, Betty has a record of every stupid fucking idea that I have. Some of them have great ideas, but none of them get lost anymore. And that's the point. None of those crazy dreams that we all have, that we abandon, they don't get lost anymore. And now they get filed. And if they get filed, they can be retrieved at the right time when you think the fit is right. And voila, this is exactly one of those.
Yeah, 100%. A couple of things. So I guess that would make domains the magic beans. Is that the...
I guess so. Absolutely. I never thought about that. I got to go watch it. I think I got to go Netflix or one of them and find Jack and the Beanstalk today and watch that sucker. See, you gave me homework. I'm going to go watch Jack and the Beanstalk. I have a mission now, okay? Yeah. It's been probably about 60 years since I've seen it. Maybe longer. I'm not sure.
I don't even know. I guess there's movies and cartoons. I don't even, you know, I know there's obviously the story. You know, we all know it. It's one of those things.
There was a movie.
I think so, too. But you know what? If not, I'm sure Grok or someone can whip it up.
There you go. Yeah, you can make a, AI will definitely make it for you. Well, you know, real quick, talking about the single founder billion-dollar company. So it was just announced in the New York Times article that company Medvie, right, which was the, peptides, GLPs, one dude, AI, and he hired someone, his younger brother. It's the two employees, and the business did $400 million annually, and they're on track to do $1.8 billion next year. Now, they had some issues, FDA and some other things, and people say, like, you know, there's people who've come out and said some of their business practices are a little funky and things like that. So I'm not speaking to any of those details just because I don't know a lot about it. But what I do know is that the baseline is there, and whether or not these guys are the ones that will actually get it done and how legitimate they are. But we're at the precipice of that, right, where these guys, whether or not you could say, hey, there's certain things around that kind of devalue sort of like the accomplishment or whatever, but it doesn't change the facts, which are this company did $400 million of revenue with two guys, with a dude and his brother and AI, and they're on track to do 1.8. So we are at the cusp of billion-dollar one founder. It's almost like maybe he could fire his brother, which I'm sure will go well at the Thanksgiving table. But, you know.
You know what that means? That means that the AI race is going to replace football, basketball, baseball. That's what every kid wants to be, a star in one of those sports. All of a sudden, AI is competing and will probably win against those three or four other sectors or 10 other sectors because there's so much more opportunity on AI. So much more opportunity where all the sports are kind of consolidated. How many people?
No, they already moved past sports. My generation wanted to grow up being, you know, Michael Jordan. The kids today want to grow up being influencers like,
now they're going to be builders.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's really, I think we're at a really interesting time. Palmer Luckey, right? He actually just did an interview a few days ago where he talked about this and basically said, part of the problem that we've had about the future and kids, what they're pursuing is that their dreams kind of suck, right? Because up for this window of time, they went from wanting to be astronauts and presidents and professional athletes even to, oh, I want to be a social media influencer, right? And he's like, that sucks. Like, of course, your future is going to be bleak if your goals are terrible, right? But I think there's a change happening, and I agree with you. I think that's important.
You know, you know what? Being an influencer isn't a goal. It's like a destination. You arrive there after you've done your homework for a long time, okay?
It's more of a default. It's because they have nothing better to aspire to.
It's a consultant, okay? If you're unemployed for the last 100 years, you were a consultant, okay? Instead of saying between jobs, I'm a consultant, okay? Same thing.
No doubt. Well, and I think
if you think about it, like why these things happen this way, and it directly corresponds to domains and sort of the life cycle we've seen, which is, you know, in the early days, to take a domain and build an enterprise on top was a very heavy task. And the person in the business world would look at it, you paid $10 for this domain, you paid $100, it didn't matter what you paid. It was not enough to justify you having a piece of the pie of building some huge enterprise. And then the hardware cost dropped to nothing, right? And the data cost dropped to nothing. And so one gate eliminated. And then it was building the website and, you know, very complicated databases. And then that went away and that dropped to nothing, right? And so there's another big gate that dropped. And it's been these gatekeepers that have been basically preventing what, you know, the domain, the magic bean from extracting its value from this life cycle. By it was these gatekeepers. It was huge.
Miracle Grow came to the rescue,
but,
baby.
But AI is Miracle Grow.
It exactly.
It was like, oh, we don't need all the other shit anymore. And now, actually, the hurdle is the domain. That's it.
That's it. Like
you have somebody that's a competent operator, right? That was always going to be table stakes. And then a good idea. And the only way you're going to create a competitive moat around that is a great brand. And the only way to have a great brand in the digital world is a great domain, period.
You need three people. You need three people today, really. You need the guy with the vision. You need the race car driver that knows what he's doing. And then you need the mechanic. You need three people to change the world today. That any company that has more, why? Really, why? Yeah. Okay, maybe a couple of more, but those are the three. That's the hub. Three. Not 300, not 3,000. That's why I never understand. How does a company lay off 30,000 people? Why the hell were they working there to begin with? I mean, it's like, really? Yeah. How did you do that? That takes real talent.
As somebody who's never worked in a large corporation, I literally have no comprehension. When I hear about those numbers that that 10,000 people were laid off, how many people are left? Like, right. What do they do? I wouldn't, if I ran that company, I would literally, I guess that's on me, but
why did they hire them to begin with?
I don't know what you do.
Why did they hire them to begin with? See, people think they're getting bigger as they grow the company. The more people that they hire, that's how they grow their company. Bullshit. The way you grow your company is you make more money. As the least amount of people to run your company, that's the number you need, not the most. So they got it inverted.
Philosophy. Yeah. Well, and as somebody who's worked in big companies before, I mean, and seeing the bloat and the processes, I mean, we used to have Monday stand-ups where you'd spend the whole morning just listening to what everybody's working on, you know? And it's like, how
funny,
is that?
Since I brought you in, our company doubled in size in employees.
Well, hey, man. We're more of a family. We're a family and a team. And
Until you're not.
Media Options lays off 100
divorce. Who's a divorce lawyer here? Which one of you guys is the divorce lawyer?
Media Options lays off everybody and hires Betty.
Yeah. Well, hey, slow down. But I think those are interesting points. Real quick, the thing I think, you know, it all comes back to agency, right? The ability to get things accomplished, right? And I think the key people, this is something we talk about for young kids, like what are they going to do as the world changes, the economy changes, you know, and what are the skills that ultimately will continue to lead to success? And it seems to always come back to just being able to get stuff done, right? And then that's now you have the tools that allow one person to do the work of 100, you know, and things like that. So, you know, a lot of that. But I think going back to Drew's point is where the domains are so important is that, you know, it establishes trust, it establishes a gateway, it establishes a storefront, right? Where you otherwise and business in a box is really based on the idea that these domains are just so amazing. And so they just, you know, because without that, it's all noise. So how do you cut through the noise?
Just look at this. One of the biggest apps, AI apps in the world is Lovable, right? Lovable app. And I don't know if you guys have messed with this, and I am certainly no expert. But I am kind of obsessed with this thing. Have you heard about Lovable, Rick?
Yeah, I have the back of my lane.
Lovable, yeah. like, oh, look, it's so lovable, right? Lovable app. I'm telling you, you have to go play with this because this is going to make your brain explode. I am like the least technical human being. I'm grateful every day when I can turn my computer on. And
You can compete for that title.
So I was working with this absolutely brilliant guy who was going to be teaching me AI. I said, look, I want you to teach me how to do all these things that people are talking about on X that make my head explode, because I go to do the first thing and I go, forget it. I can't learn this. So I said, this guy is way overqualified, but he was going to help me learn this stuff. And the first thing we did, our first class, and he just turned me on to Lovable. And then, unfortunately, he got brought into a new company and had to throw me by the wayside. But just the one class, which all he really did was show me how he can build things in Lovable. And then I went and did it myself. I just signed up, created an account, cost nothing. And I'm telling you, you just in normal language, you tell it what you want to build, and then it builds it. And then you say, try again, and it rebuilds it. And then when you're happy with it, you say, turn this into my website. And then it says, do you want to do it on like a subdomain of Lovable, or do you have your own domain? And you say, I might.
Wow.
It says, the domain. I say, GoDaddy. It says, click here. But dot, dot, dot. It interacts with GoDaddy. I do my login to make them connect. But all, dude, I'm telling you, I don't remember. What was it? I forgot what the first test was that I did. I can't. What was it?
Oh, it was Full Spectrum, right? Wasn't it?
Fullspectrum.com. I put this website up. It took me, I probably spent an hour and a half, 2 hours.
And it was live.
Like, that's with literally the first time I'm ever touching this. And it is, I think there's 1,000 articles that are all uniquely created. There's a database in this. It's not a simple blog. There's a database in this. It's got all kinds of functionality. And this is like, literally the first time I touch it. This is the first 2 hours I spent on this thing. You can do so much now. But my point in this story was not to tell you about my experience. My point in the story was to say one of the most successful apps that's actually profitable in the AI universe is this Lovable company. And let me tell you something. The only hurdle to Lovable is a domain. That's it.
The perfect
post. Everything else is on the other side of this computer. That's it. The only thing I need to input is my idea in simple, normal language and a domain name. That's it.
And then you need to read them this. Okay, you know me. I don't make short posts on Twitter usually. This is one of my shortest posts ever. I made it just a little while ago. This dovetails with exactly what you're saying. Hey, startups and marketing guys, attention CEOs. If you don't want to grow your company, get a shitty domain name. If you don't want to grow your company, get a shitty domain name. That's the future. That's 100%. The future. That's the future. Now it's a whole different ballgame. They may have not realized it yet, okay? They may not have realized it yet.
No, most are, or maybe most is a big word, but many have realized it. I'm telling you, I mean, look, we are in
the trenches. You can see the turn.
It's not even a question. The conversations that we have today are not the conversations I had 5 years ago, or certainly 10 years ago, 12. If you go back to the 2010 era, okay, I was pushing a huge boulder up a hill just to even have the conversation about a domain, to even get somebody to think about
it. It's nice to go over the crest, ain't it? It's nice to hit 100%, that crest.
100%. Pretty soon we're going to be chasing the boulder down the hill.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, they're going to be chasing us down the hill.
Yeah. I do think people are starting or coming around to the importance of the domain name. The challenge, though, still is the value, is the number, right? Like trying to get them to comprehend the worth, right?
Well, you know what? It seems to be the domain seller, though. He's the one leading the way to value, because most of the domain sellers are weak. It's the mm-hmm. truth. They yeah. really are. They wouldn't know if they had a $50,000 domain in their hand or a $50 million domain in their hand. Here, when I get contacted about selling a domain, let me tell you how bad these guys are. It's so bad. They'll send me an email with a price. Okay, I get it. I kind of put it on the side. 2 hours later, they're sending the second email. 4 hours later, I'm getting 5 emails within 24 hours, and each time they're cutting their damn price. What the hell are they doing? I mean, this doesn't happen once. This is consistently. This happens consistently. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to interject.
Right. I think that's a two-part problem, right? That there's definitely the weak hands on the domain side and how a lot of maybe investors, some probably less experienced, are presenting themselves. But on the other side, I still think it's a challenge to get these our future end users, right? The highest and best use of our domains, our assets, to get comfortable with what they're really worth, right? Like some get it, obviously, but it's I still think that's the biggest challenge.
But that's why you have to have those all the previous comps public. And even with an NDA, it should expire in 3 years. No NDA should be longer than 3 years. If we had every... See, that's what sets the bar. When they start seeing the list of domains selling for $25, $50, $100 million, that changes the conversation. You know, we're still trying. Most domainers haven't broken the seven-figure mark, let alone the eight and the nine-figure mark. Yep. So, you know, that's and like I wrote the other day, we publicize stupid sales. We're like mobile home flippers. Think about this. All day long, I see $2,300 sales for what the hell? Who cares? No other industry promotes crummy sales. No other they're big sales, the important sales, and the bargain of the century sales, maybe, or something like that. No one heralds everyday nonsense sales. It's like Publix or a supermarket. Hey, we sold some chopped meat for 99 cents a pound.
That's so true.
I mean, so our whole presentation for an industry has been so bad for so many years because there hasn't been one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, look, my position has been, I don't believe in comps. I don't support comps. I, you know,
they're not comps. They're market value. Forget comps. I mean, that's a bad word.
I
that's a bad word. Comps is a bad word.
Yeah.
Market value to just show, look at all these domains and look at all these companies that spent in excess of $10 million. 100%. Why would they do that? That's the only question you ask.
Yeah. And
why?
Is the business still running? Great.
You know, are they making money?
That's all you need to know.
And when you contact them, was it a smart thing or a dumb thing? No, it was the smartest thing I ever did. I can't live without my domain name.
That's what you
can take anything you want, but leave my domain name because I can start again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think
what I promote is, you know, really trying to justify each domain to the person I'm trying to sell it to and saying, look, this is your business. And if I can increase your conversions by 20%, like, what does that mean? And that, forget about the intangibles of, like, all of a sudden your employees are proud of their email address and they're not tripping over themselves when they go to give their email address to somebody. And, you know, what does it mean when people are immediately trusting you because they see your domain name and it's clear and it matches your brand?
They never even considered that until right now. And you know who's been talking about it the most? Lately, the last few weeks, Mr. Wonderful has been talking about customer acquisition costs and things like that. They never focused on this before. All of a sudden, it's just like...
it's always been our argument. That's literally been my entire sales premise, the entirety of my sales premise.
They weren't tied into it.
About
they weren't tied in.
Acquisition. That's it. That's the only conversation that matters. We're going to reduce the cost of your customer acquisition. Period. That's literally, in my opinion, the definition of what a domain name does.
What is the lifetime value of a new customer?
Yeah.
One single question. What is the lifetime value of a new customer?
Yeah.
Okay. How does a domain play into that? Whatever inherent traffic it gets, and believe me, they got traffic.
Yeah.
If you get just one new customer every day because of the domain name, now multiply it by 365 by 10 for 10 years, and then their lifetime value. So, you know, that isn't just a $20 sale. That's a $20,000 sale or a $200,000 sale. or whatever the number is, they have to do the math. They know how much their customer is worth. And they never asked that question, but they are now.
Yep.
Well, and you know, you even see it like when we get emails for, you know, from people for all, you know, our inbox gets blown up on all the different things about different stuff, everything from, hey, do you need funding? Do you need a loan? Do you need services and all that kind of stuff? And we get emails, especially from some dot shop domain or some long bullshit domain. I mean, they're the first ones that get tossed, right? You don't even respond to those emails because they're not legitimate
people. It's like an easy way to filter it.
You know, so I think that it's the kind of thing. And I think the appreciation of premium domains has definitely become a lot more front of mind for people in general. Drew talked about this in the Tim Ferriss episode and, you know, about how, second time founders appreciate domains probably more than anybody because they've been through the process already. They've sold their company. They're starting a new company.
Good or bad. They had a good or a bad experience the first time around. And they realized that the domain name either was critical or they would have done better with it.
And so, you know, that's a very, very important piece. What I also think is interesting when you look at the, and we talk about this internally, when you talk about the AI models and the, you know, the LLMs, they have an appreciation for domain names. People now, when they, because up to this point, right, everyone's relying on previously just trying to figure out like what's a domain worth, right? Different appraisal tools and the algorithms and all, it's very hard for those to actually do any kind of like, you know, significantly good job in valuing domains. But people seem to have, there's a changing of the tide where people understand that domains are valuable and premium domains have real value. And the people that reach out to us and say, oh, I asked ChatGPT what my domain's worth and things like that. And the models are telling people their domains are valuable, right? Like they, in a way that I think is.
I wish the models would buy my domains first. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish, is there a button where I can go like, okay, it's yours.
Yours, ChatGPT. Yeah. Well, maybe they access, you know, you're going
to
get Bitcoin.
I used to use it the opposite way. GoDaddy would have their stupid appraisal tool and the guy would come, hey, GoDaddy said it's only worth $2,300. I said, well, go buy it from GoDaddy.
But that's it, right? It's like, I think that there's a sense generally.
But hold on. I want before you move on, I want to highlight you. So what I find really interesting, and I think that it's a very powerful signal. Google owned the internet up until, I would say maybe even a year ago, maybe two. They owned the internet completely. Full stop. Okay. And we would approach Google with domains for one good example was when they launched Google Meet. And Google Meet was the first version of this before Zoom, before, you know, everybody else, before Teams. And I guess you had Skype, but Google was the first sort of enterprise level video conferencing thing. Well, whatever, for the most part, right? It was big brand. Okay.
Yeah.
So, we approached them, meet.com, M-E-E-T.com was for sale. A client of ours was selling it. I think we were asking $1 million, but the guy would have taken $500,000. And we approached Google and I think they offered $50,000 and they were like, we don't need it. We're Google. We don't need it. And that conversation has stuck with me, or it was an email, but it stuck with me since that moment. It was like, what do you mean? And what it told you is how they think about their customer. They said, our customer will find what they need on our website. We don't need to provide shortcuts. We don't need to make their journey easier. We're Google. You know, we provide the service. They'll find what they need. And that always stuck with me. And the reason it stuck with me is because in contrast, at that time, we were doing a lot of business with Amazon. And we sold a lot of domain names to Amazon, such as prime.com. And what did they do? They took those domains and they forward prime.com. To this day, when I go to like watch something on Amazon Prime or buy something, I go to prime.com. I don't even go to Amazon and click, then click, then no. I go to prime.com, takes me where I want to go. And they did the same. You can go to podcast.com. It'll take you exactly where, you know, where you listen to podcasts with Amazon. So they had the exact opposite approach. Now, fast forward to today, Google is losing traction and these LLMs are gaining traction. And one of the big, for better or worse, one of the big things that people are replacing Google with is just asking one of the chats, whether it's Grok or it's ChatGPT or whatever it might be. And so what are these guys doing, right? They're the new generation of the people, you know, this intermediation of the internet between me and whether it's information or a product, they're the ones giving me the review. They're the ones doing this, the intermediation for me. So ChatGPT, right? It's OpenAI is the actual company, right? And they had to actually fight to get the OpenAI.com. They had OpenAI, they had to fight to get the ChatGPT.com. But it was the same situation. You had to go to OpenAI.com, then you had to go to, you know, a menu, then you click on what are you looking for, ChatGPT, then you, okay. It was at least two, maybe even three clicks you had to do to get to the actual little interface where I start typing with ChatGPT. Then they bought chat.com. They forwarded it straight to ChatGPT, boom, go to chat.com, immediately start interacting, zero click, immediately straight to the interface, start typing. Then you have x.com, or even before they it was XAI. So x.ai, which we acquired for Elon. And originally you would have had to go x.ai, then a menu, and then I want to talk to Grok. Great. We went and got Grok, Grok.com, boom, straight to the thing. Now you go to Grok.com, boom. It's right there, immediate, zero click, zero. No menus, no nothing, just duck, straight to the interface. Then you have Anthropic. Instead of going to Anthropic.com, then a menu, and then that, you have Claude. And what do? They bought Claude.com. You go to Claude.com, straight to the interface, zero click, start typing. So those are the three biggest players. Noticeably absent from that is Google, by the way, with Gemini. They do not own Gemini.com. It's a crypto exchange, which, you know, it, as big as Gemini, the crypto exchange is, it would make perfect sense for Google to simply figure out a deal to just buy the company or buy the domain name, because the opportunity cost of the Gemini AI in the world's most important race to not own that domain is, oh, absurd. It's absolutely absurd. But it's interesting.
Or have a different brand.
But I think it's very interesting to see that signal. At least I perceive it as a strong signal to say, okay, then, you know, the incumbents didn't get it. They thought our brand, our company is so strong. We're building products that are so strong. Well, it's not the product. The product's a commodity now. It's the brand that matters. It's the ease of use. It's the customer journey. It's the customer experience.
You make it as easy as possible. You put as many entrances as possible.
100%.
I mean, think about this. This is so insane. And none of them are forward thinkers. They didn't sit down and have one meeting and said, listen, what are the products we're going to come out with for the next 100 years? Let's secure every domain around it right now. That's the mission for the next week. You know, they never had a meeting like that, ever.
But how big is that shift from all the value accrued to the enterprise brand to now all the value accrues to the product brand?
That changes everything.
That's a massive shift.
Yeah, 100%. So, well, let's talk about this then, because we've got about 15, 20 minutes left. We're already, we're going to push up on time. And I just want to finish, like, going back to what we started with, which was the Beanstalk Challenge. And what I want to know is, you've got NamesCon happening November 11th, 12th in Miami. You know, everybody make sure that you're there if you want to see what this is going to look like live.
I will say publicly, I may even reconsider to go to NamesCon just to see the presentation for the Beanstalk Challenge.
It's going to be a moment.
Love it. Great endorsement.
So yeah, you see, so you've got
the answer. You may have to give me the cutout of that so I can over and over again.
yeah, let's go. So it's 7 months, almost to the day, right? 7 months and 4 days from now till then, right? So what does the next 7 months look like? You've had builders who have spent 30 days getting started. Some of them have some really slick sites, some really cool stuff happening. So for the next 6 months, do you monitor it? Is there any kind of tracking? Are you working with the founders on a somewhat daily basis? Like, how does that routine work with 30 sites and 18 builders and 7 months to go?
Well, I have been working with a lot of them, actually. And they call me for advice, or they want me to look at the direction they're going. And, you know, most of the time, my major input is the color orientation and where are you asking for the money? Where's the money part coming? Where is the money? Okay, do you have a membership? Do you, you know, you should have a tour. I mean, you're selling something, and you got to remember, I came from the adult industry, and the adult industry who basically wrote the book on a lot of the things on the internet, whether people realize it or appreciate it or not, had a tour. They have a 3, 4, 5-page tour, and at the end, and show people the benefits of what they're going to get. And at the end of the tour, you have a join button. You ask for the order.
Show and me the money, Jerry.
Right. It's a mousetrap. You're building a mousetrap. Okay? So keep that in mind. You're building a mousetrap. It has to lead to the cheese, and they have to hit join to get the cheese. That's what you're doing. So those are the things I kind of try to instill in them, is just stay with the basics, tell people the benefits, and when they come to the site, make sure it's exciting. You got like a split second. You're dealing with people. If it's drab, they're leaving before they even look. You got to get something to grab their attention, whatever it is, whatever it is. So make it a little bit eye-popping, but be clear of what you have and how they're going to benefit. It's a pretty simple equation. How are they going to benefit, and why should they spend time and money here and not somewhere else? That's it.
What I think is awesome too is you're going to have all these playbooks that are going to be established over these next few months to see what works, what doesn't work.
And a lot of information, a lot of data is going to come in.
Yeah.
And then from there,
can you give us some early expectations? Is there anybody that's look, to be fair, is there anybody that you think is already exceeding your expectations?
Well, several of them are exceeding my expectations because they're really taking it seriously. And, you know, it's hard to pick anyone now without tilting the board.
But, yeah. That's why I don't want to be unfair.
Right. So I can say this. A lot of them, they're gung-ho.
Give us an underdog that, you know, maybe this gives them a little pep in their step.
Well, I told you about that 16-year-old kid. I'm putting my money on the 16-year-old kid with thumbnail who isn't even starting until June because he can't do it until he finishes school. But I'm going to tell his father today that I'm going to accept his proposal, and because really I want that mindset. So I would say if I were going to pick the winners, I would look at him. The properties.guy is taking it seriously and he's polishing it every day. He's doing the things that are needed to progress. The lady that has Banker is working on it very hard. It hasn't been published yet. It's not alive yet, but she's working hard. She has something a little bit different. The jobfind.ai is going to be interesting because she's turning the whole thing upside down with finding a job. So that's going to be interesting. And I posted the other day, what's really going to be interesting is now these people need traffic. And I told them, they started talking about Google and Facebook and all Instagram. I'm like, what the? Are you kidding me? You have domain traffic. Why the hell wouldn't you buy traffic from domainers who aren't making any money on their domains to begin with?
Yeah.
And now you have really targeted traffic that you can convert. Now it becomes a win-win for everybody. So I'm talking to one of the pay-per-click companies, and hopefully they're going to come on board as the official company that I'm going to tell the participants to use. And who knows the business well. And that way, we bypass all the traditional advertising methods because they basically suck. You're getting shit traffic and paying a lot of money for it, but you get an orgasm because you get a million visitors, okay? But you get no sales. So I'd rather have 2 visitors and 1 sale. That really excites me. A million visitors and no sales, not so good.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
One of the sites that I'm kind of interested in is seeing how something like Breakfast Bars does, you know, because I think
big industry.
You know, it's an e-com-ish site, right? That's, you know, doing, you know, Crowded. Amazon affiliate stuff. And I, cause to me, I look at it like when I look at the domain portfolio that we have, that Drew has, right? Cause, you know, again, this is kind of establishing a playbook, right? And if the playbook works, and then it's like, okay, you know, there are opportunities that everybody on, you know, Drew, Amar, and then everybody that has a really strong domain portfolio, where all of a sudden it's like, it's time to mine the gold, right? It's time to plant those magic beans.
Bingo.
And, you know, so seeing the sites.
Sorry,
that,
Rick, but you know what's better than breakfast bars? Protein bars.
But there, that's what I'm saying, right? So let's say breakfast bars works, the model works, and it turns into a profitable business that one person can do, and it's done in a way that it's like operationally manageable, right? Well, then for someone like Amar, who has proteinbars.com, why wouldn't he follow that exact same playbook and then go and make, you know what I mean? So it's like,
exactly.
Just think about this for 1 second. Think about like consumption. No, what was it called? The, not consumption junction. That was
commission junction.
Commission junction. God, did they screw me out of a lot of money? Just so you know.
But think about that whole intermediary lead gen, commission junction, affiliate industry. How big it is? It's massive, And think about that. The only reason it exists is because there's people that produce goods and services, and they don't have the capabilities to do the online marketing and lead generation. And so literally what do? They are the biggest buyers, I can tell you, of domains up until the AI boom. But up until then, it was the marketing guys and the lead gen guys, more than the guys that actually produce the industry. Look at insurance, for example. It's not your insurance companies that buy the big domains. It's the guys that are providing the leads to the insurance companies that buy the big domains. That entire space could be disintermediated by this type of idea. We've got the domains. And yeah, we just connect them with the people with the industry, and the AI does the rest.
And the thing with breakfast bars, so take a domain like breakfast bars. One of the most sought after shelf space in the world, okay, are breakfast bars. I learned that from Shark Tank and Mr. Wonderful, by the way. Okay, really, that space is so sought after. There, the only way you could really get in it is through an online venture. You're not going to get it on the shelf. Basically, it's too crowded already. There's no room for you. You know, same thing with beverage companies. Same thing.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to get any oxygen is you have to market it online, and that's right. Exactly. So for certain domains like that, it's even more important because that's the only outlet you're going to have to getting these other brands that otherwise aren't going to be available to you in a supermarket or a 7-Eleven or wherever the hell you're going.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. Well, there's, that one's super cool. I mean, there's obviously great domains that are all part of this. It's going to be so, so interesting to see how they develop, how they progress, how they evolve. Are you going to have some sort of a site or somewhere where you'll be able to see all of the domains, or is there, I guess you can't really do a leaderboard, but is there a way that you're going to be able to see what makes up the universe of the Beanstalk companies?
Well, yeah, they can go to Twitter at my Domain King feed or Betty AI Project feed, and I periodically list all of the domains that have been claimed in the challenge. And then there's a little ship next to them if they're already sailing. In other words, if they're already active, there's a little ship. So it's sailing. So right now, I think there's 15 of them out of the 35 or 36 that are already moving.
I love it. Well, we'll definitely have to do a follow-up show in a couple of months prior to NamesCon, where we kind of do a little check-in and see, and, you know, and get people some visibility around the businesses and the sites to see like what's happening with them and all.
There's still opportunity. We're still taking builders until May 1st.
Okay.
So you can still, and even the founders, not all of them are going to make it to be the founders.
Yep.
And the founders get a 6% bonus of everything that gets earned. So if there's a breakout, there could be a windfall. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be pennies and won't mean anything. But then again, if someone does break out and you do have a $1 billion company, it gets spread around.
So people who potentially want to participate, how do they see what names are available effectively to build on?
Well, they can contact me. They can go to domainking.com, and also another domain like the letter I, Combinator.com. iCombinator.
I love that. iCombinator. That was great.
Yeah, iCombinator. Yeah, that's awesome. So
that was an $800 purchase or something like that, $500, something like that. So I like it a lot.
I love it. Love it. Yeah, so it's cool. Amar, you look like you're about to see, you got something to say?
No, I'm looking at iCombinator. I was actually checking beanstockchallenge.com. Somebody got it. I hope it's
that's
not
me.
You,
right?
Okay,
that's
good.
Me. That's me.
I was going to say, I think maybe you should just, have Betty put together a little leaderboard or whatever on Beanstock Challenge so we can see all the current. You can start building up.
Like, auto-lovable.
And then previous participants and blah, blah, blah. Or if a project kind of becomes available, it wasn't working with the previous builders, it's now available, something like that.
Maybe, Amar, you could do the Beanstalk Challenge site as part of the thing. And maybe that might be the best site of them all. That might be the best.
Absolutely.
I'm doing it once he does the yacht. Once the yacht. <Yeah. comes>
Well, I'm going to have an announcement about the yacht, too. That's later on, though.
Okay. Okay.
For the participants. For the participants. But actually, we're going to be doing that at the beginning of May. Because right now, everything is being handled on Twitter and LinkedIn. Hashtag Beanstalk Challenge. And you'll see all the crap come up. And anyway, it'll be... In May, we'll start tracking it. We'll probably have some type of a leaderboard showing if there's any revenue. But the first 6 weeks, I think we got to give people some runway to get things moving. And 100%. It's too premature, but it's coming.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's really awesome and it's exciting to see and, excited to see how it all plays out. The one note on Lovable that Drew mentioned, I mean, they added last month alone $100 million in revenue.
No affiliation whatsoever. I wish I was an investor.
You got to get some affiliate.
It really impressed me. The ability to just literally, like, in very normal language, tell this thing, go ahead and just, tell it anything, and it just does it. And it's like,
Is it continuing to update itself in the background? Like, you said it's writing, continuing to add content?
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, you have to command it to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably there is a way to automate that.
You could probably have it automatically generate content, and then maybe you have to approve it before it goes live or something like that.
Could be. I think actually I remember there's like that. That's actually one of the features. Yeah.
All right. Well, good stuff.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Let's go around the horn. We'll end with Rick real quick, but Drew, let me go to you. Any final thoughts or just anything, whether related to the Beanstalk Challenge, to NamesCon, to current whatever, anything we've talked about today? You got anything else to chime in with?
No, I'm really excited to see how this turns out. I think that this really has the potential to basically just be an entirely new paradigm in the way that we monetize our domains. It's, I think that this has the potential to basically justify what we've all thought for so long. And I think it's about these gates falling. There's been these huge hurdles that were mostly financial. It was the cost of the hardware, the cost of the data, the cost of the bandwidth, the cost of the this and then that, and the builder and the engineers and the design and the SEO and all of that is basically falling to zero. And so I think, all that's left when you look up is the domain. It's an idea, it's an operator, and it's a domain. And so I think the timing is right. And I'm really excited because if this works, shit, I'm giving away cars next year. You know what I mean?
Motherfucker.
That's what I said. It's established. It could very well establish the playbook for a bunch of different things. One, it's like, you know, it continues to reinforce, you know, domains and their value. And then it also can establish the playbook for how to be successful with these different types of domains. And then that opens up a whole bunch.
Imagine we get 10 people, 5 people, 10 people, whatever, with top domain portfolios that say, fuck, what a great idea. And we all start giving away cars and houses and apartments and gold bricks. That's how we get into that fourth and fifth, you know, circle of you know, like real serious operators, guys that have already sold companies for hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars to go, hey, I'm sitting here. I just sold this company for $1 billion. And he sees that, you know, some schmuck like us is giving away a freaking Ferrari. And it doesn't, not that he needs the Ferrari, but it's just the, it's the hook, you know? And it's like, come build this domain name. Come build this domain.
It adds to awareness, right? It also puts it in the broader, like, mind share.
Everything
people,
is a story.
It's like,
everything that changes people's minds is a story. And so I think this is a great story. And I think it's a story at the right time. And that's, you know, what's the quote? Nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come.
I don't know, but that's a great quote in general. I don't know if that's the actual quote, but I love that. But speaking of great stories, I mean, Jack and the Beanstalk is a great, it's Rick and the Beanstalk. And it really, like, did you think about that when naming it? Like the Jack and Rick and like the idea of like, you know, the, like from a character standpoint, did that play into it at all?
Well, I have an astronaut onto the top of the beanstalk, if you notice. I had Grok make me, well, actually, oh, God, I'm so terrible at names. Anyway, Andrew Hazen made me a beanstalk thing, like an animation. Well, I made it an animation with Grok. And on the top is a guy in a spacesuit orbiting the beanstalk, which happens to be pretty cool with the moon thing going on right now, right?
Yeah.
Well, the idea that the beanstalk goes from the magic beans to the beanstalk into the clouds, and then there's a giant castle, right?
I may have thought about Rick and the Bean. I did a whole, you know, we thought about it for about a day.
Well, that's going to be the title.
How do we frame this?
That'll be the title of the episode, is Rick and the Beanstalk. All right, so Amar, what about you, man? Any final thoughts on this or otherwise?
I'm really just like Drew said, I'm super excited to see how this all plays out. I'll definitely be at NamesCon to see the winners and to see the next round being announced. But, you know, on the idea of, you know, I think we need to continue spreading awareness.
Yeah.
I think an underutilized medium is LinkedIn. You know, I think we're all so big on X, but I think especially with right now, everybody, a lot of the younger generation is afraid of getting displaced by AI. So guess what? They're on LinkedIn looking for jobs, probably. And that's probably where you want to be, maybe start talking about these things. You know, yeah, over the last week, I've seen a bunch of people posting their top 10 names by searches and this and that. And I did that yesterday. It got real traction.
Yeah, it is.
There should be, I think we should probably be doing that on LinkedIn too, right? Like I was thinking maybe posting that same thing and then Drew, maybe you can post yours and Rick. And I think it's just more awareness, but specifically with respect to Rick's, you know, the beanstalk challenge, I actually think LinkedIn is probably a better place for it, because that's where people are looking for jobs and are worried about what are they going to do next. They're like, oh, wow, I can build my own future on one of these amazing assets, right?
Like everything that I post on Twitter is on LinkedIn. I post on LinkedIn every single day.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different audience. Just like you were saying, it's a completely different audience with the different ambitions, and but it's very good. LinkedIn is excellent.
Yeah. So, but anyway, this is awesome. And if Breakfast Bars works, guess what? I'm copying that shit.
No doubt. No doubt.
We can partner on it, Rick.
Andrew Hazen can get some licensing fees. He'll love it. And I get a few pennies of it.
Yeah, we'll partner on it.
I love it.
We'll buy each other yachts.
Okay, so
there you go. All right, Rick, so final thoughts for you. I mean, anything else you want to impart on the audience before we call it for today?
Well, first of all, I have to thank you guys for being so enthusiastic about my idea. I mean, I never expected that. I mean, this is wonderful. I mean, really, I mean, that's, and that's been, you know, the reception that I've had since the beginning. It's just an amazing phenomenon to have so much excitement behind something because finally something is different. Finally, maybe there's a way to get out of landing page prison, right? Landing page prison. I just came up with that. Don't any of you son of a bitches register it, okay? Landing, I got to write it down. Landing
You got about 48 landing, hours till the episode drops.
Good, okay, landing page prison. Then I know where it came from. I have my suspects. Everyone's rooting for this to be a success, and that's a beautiful thing because everyone knows if this works, it changes the entire dynamics of the industry overnight, and we have the wind at our back with the AI, and it's just, you know, what Amar is saying about breaking out, that's the whole purpose of this, is to get finally break out of all of those bubbles that we've been trapped in for all of these years and make a statement, and they're going to finally have to take a moment. That's all you want. If someone takes 2 minutes, takes a deep breath, has an open mind and consider it, it's really hard to have a different conclusion. That's all. Just look at it with a fresh set of eyes, and you may get it's a fresh set of eyes because you have new ammunition on the table. The deck has been shuffled. You can't look at whatever happened 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. And it's a whole new world. It started on January 1st, 2026. The race is on. The greatest race in the history of the world.
That's it. 100%. And it's going to be so exciting to see how it all plays out, both with respect to this particular, you know, contest and then just the world and the, you know, the internet, the economy, everything in general.
And you can still get in. You can still get in. There's how many more days here? What's the 20?
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you get somebody that shows up in 2 months and says, you know, and it's a, you know, somebody, a serious builder, and they say, look, I heard about what you're doing, and I
they're in because they're going to build something.
Yeah, but what
overnight?
If they want one of the ones that somebody's already building a business on that's kind of mediocre?
Well, then here's what happens. Then you get
pay
the current
to evict. Pay to evict.
You don't evict them. You get them involved, okay? And the company that's interested is going to have to make a deal with the current operator, okay? That's what's going to have to happen, okay? Very simple. No one gets screwed. Everyone wins at every step of the way. And that's how you handle it. And you're firm about it. You're not wishy-washy. When you make a decision, it isn't, well, maybe. No. This is how it's done. End of story. If you don't like it, well, then wait till the next year. If the name is available again, you can try.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that'll just be a case by case, right? I mean, let's, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But we'll follow up. We're going to obviously keep an eye on things and, you know, and we'll do another show in a couple months. We'll be there at NamesCon. We'll talk in the meantime. There'll be a lot to talk about. It's going to be exciting to see. So, well, Rick, thank you so much for being on today and sharing with us everything you got going on. We're super, super excited. Drew Amar as my co-host. Thank you guys so much, as always, for showing up and participating and doing what you do. And to the audience, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. We say it on every show, without you, there is no us. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And, you know, hit Rick up on X, hit us up on X. We're not hard to find. You still have a few weeks if you're trying to get into the challenge. Otherwise, keep an eye out and see what's going on. And there'll definitely be lessons to learn and things to take away from everything that's happening. And these are exciting times. And we're definitely going to be leaning in and watching and doing and all that good stuff. So again, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, and we'll see you all soon.